Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Living the Unanswerable Questions. Here's Sylvia Cash with our scripture reading.
The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We live in a world that much prefers answers to questions. See, answers, they calm us down. They make us feel safe. And they provide a sense of security. When we can know what to expect, we know how to plan, and we can take all the necessary steps to ensure our success. The desire to find answers to our questions isn't really anything new, and it isn't necessarily a bad thing. Human curiosity has led us to numerous discoveries and inventions over the years, from creation of the wheel to the discovery of penicillin. Questions mark the beginning of some of our greatest advancements and achievements. Years ago, our parents and grandparents, they taught us how to find answers to our questions. Once we knew the question, we could go to the library and find books on whatever subject we were looking up. We'd research and put our notes on note cards that were numbered. We would consult the volumes of printed encyclopedias or seek out primary sources for an interview. And then once all that data was organized, we could analyze it and draw our own conclusions. Yes, it took quite some time, but the process of discovery was filled with excitement and intrigue. The search, in many ways, was more fun than finding the answer. More recently, though, we have become a little spoiled with all the answers that are readily available, either by a few taps on our smartphone or by simply saying the words, "Hey, Alexa," in a room equipped with one of those listening devices in our smart homes. The answers to so many of our questions are available on demand, which means we no longer have to wait, search, and discover things over long periods of time. There are so many good things about this. It certainly is convenient, and I, for one, do love having the ability to simply Google or ask Alexa whenever I want to know something. But I wonder if our affinity for fast answers or facts on demand is hindering our spiritual ability to lean into the unknown. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul writes, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Reminding the early Christians that our faith calls us to wait and to hope for that which we do not yet see, and to trust that God is at work within us and around us all that time. Christians, in other words, should be good at waiting we should be good at accepting the unknown or the not yet seen. And we should also be good at trusting God to carry us through those difficult seasons of unanswered questions and endless possibilities. But more like the Pharisees in today's gospel reading, we tend to grow anxious when we do not know the answers. We look for certainty to guide us through all of the unknowns that life brings our way in this season of life. The one that we're in right now has brought us so many unanswerable questions. When will the pandemic be over? When will the vaccine arrive? Isn't there a treatment that works yet? Why can't the kids just return to school? When can I visit my mother or my grandfather or my loved one? Is now the right time to regather for worship? Will things ever be the same again? And these questions, they're layered on top of all the other unanswerable questions that we've lived with before the pandemic. Will my marriage last? Will my kids be okay? Is my retirement savings going to be enough? Will this treatment plan that I'm on right now, will this work? How am I going to live without her? What's the right choice here? Some days, all of these unknowns, they remain in check. And other times, perhaps more often than not, we feel like we will never again find a piece of solid ground to stand on. In those days, we bring our questions to God, much like the Pharisees brought their questions to Jesus in a lightning round of unending asks. Should I pay my taxes to Caesar? What can we expect about the resurrection? And then today's question, what is the greatest commandment? Bam, 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 one doozy right after the other. You can sort of hear the desperation in the Pharisees' voices through the words on the pages of Scripture. And we can also feel in our gut the exhaustion from Jesus as he responds to question after question. Like an exhausted parent who's just answered 25 unanswerable questions from the mouths of curious children, Jesus tries his best to give an answer that helps the Pharisees understand the law and all the commandments. But they were kind of in the weeds, so to speak, with their legal interpretation, trying to understand with complete accuracy what was required by God and what was not. Where's the line, they want to know? What's the formula for faithful living? What do I have to do to be in God's good graces? And what's really just extra? Tell it to me straight, Jesus. But Jesus' response sounds simple. But it's really, it just adds to the uncertainty of the moment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're looking for specific action items, and Jesus gives them a broad, far-reaching call to love. He continues on saying that on this principle of love hangs all the law and all the prophets, meaning if they wanted more clear-cut instructions on what love looked like, then they needed to go back and read the Torah, reminding them to put God first, to practice hospitality with strangers, to take care of the land on which they lived, and to take time to rest and pause, among other things. And they should also heed the words of the prophets, warning them against economies of oppression, urging them to turn away from their greed and materialism, and reminding them that if they do not care for the poor and the marginalized, the wrath of God will not be long to arrive. This is what love looks like to Jesus. It's broken down in the law and the prophets. Of course, the law was and is a static document, unbending, unchanging as time marches on. And the prophets, well, they spoke to a specific moment, to a specific people. Who are the prophets for our day and age, I wonder? Whose prophetic voices should we hear today? Much like the puzzled Pharisees, we find ourselves asking the same questions. What seems to be most clear in Jesus' words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those words, they raise more questions than answers. But who is my neighbor, and how am I to love him? Who are the oppressed, really? And how is love to liberate them? I've messed things up and don't really see what there is to love about me, so I don't know how to love myself. God seems so far away. How am I to love a God like this? Well, I'm going to stop there with the contemporary questions, but the list of unanswerable questions certainly could go on and on to include perhaps more painful, more personal, or maybe even more spiritual inquiries. What is your unanswerable question? I don't know what you might say about that, but I do know I have a growing list of my own. And when I ask them in the solitude of my own prayer life, I often hear the whisper of the Spirit echo the words, or maybe I should really just say echo the word of Jesus in this very interaction with the questioning Pharisees. It's a short answer, but a poignant one once the same. Love. 19th century poet Rainer Maria Rilke wrote a letter to a young protege of his, perhaps one who, like the Pharisees, and maybe a little bit like us, was growing weary of all the unanswerable questions. Rilke urges him to live into all of life's questions. Listen to how he says it. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves. Like locked rooms, and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers, which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then, gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Rilke's words remind us that we too need to be patient toward all that is unsolved in our hearts. That we too need to try to love the questions that awaken us at night because they might just be leading us down a path toward new life. The Pharisees came to Jesus with a certain set of questions about laws and formulas. They wanted certainty in a world where everything certain seemed to be called into question. And Jesus told them to love. How many of us, too, want something, anything certain in these unprecedented days? How many of us want anything that might assure us that everything's going to be all right? It's just a matter of time. But unlike the simple encoded answers that we might get from Google or Alexa, we find ourselves dumbfounded, crawling back to the feet of Jesus, who still responds with the same words the Pharisees heard at the Jerusalem temple so many years ago. The answer is still love. It may seem nonsensical or impossible, but perhaps if we lean in and live with the possibility that God is simply calling us to love, perhaps then, gradually, without noticing it, the answers to all of those other questions, the smaller questions, will emerge because love will have changed everything. Perhaps if we could still our minds about those lesser things and trust that Jesus knew what he was talking about, we might begin to love like the greatest commandment calls us to love. To love God with our whole life, whether we're in person in church or online. To love our neighbors, whether the pandemic rages on or slowly goes away. To love ourselves, no matter how pleased we are with the reflection we see in the mirror. But to love ourselves because we know that God sees fit to love us just the way we are. Love. In all circumstances, whether or not things return to normal, simply love. 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 Amen.